Lord Jesus Christ, come among us and be our companion in life, so that we may not be the instrument of our own or any other person's oppression. Amen. Today's lessons make clear that the Bible was written so long ago that it doesn't always make sense to us. The analogies and the metaphors are very strange to us here in the 21st century. They're from a different time, a different culture, a different way of life. It's so agricultural. And the majority of us are not really acquainted with raising crops or deeply interacting with nature, so much that our lives depend on being tuned in to the seasons, the weather, and the nature in ways that are vital. For example, this thing about yeast and flour. Well, if I want bread, I go to Whole Foods. And if I want fruits and vegetables, I go to Whole Foods. If I want a new phone, I go to Verizon. If I want clothes, furniture, or whatever, I go online to that Leviathan, Amazon.com. I have to admit, I really didn't fully appreciate or relate to Jesus' words that we heard today until I was an adult. As a child and a young adult, I had never seen a mustard bush or tree or whatever it is. I never knew what a mustard seed was. And yeast, three flours, measures of flour. I mean, what is that? Is it a recipe for donuts, cupcakes, biscuits, or bread? I just didn't get it because I fully couldn't embrace what Jesus was talking about, because these examples are outside of my experience growing up in Chicago. But I did understand that somehow this mustard seed had to be very small. But when I went to the Holy Land for the first time, to Bethany, where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived, I was standing outside of Lazarus' grave and a souvenir seller came to me. And he looked at me, and instead of getting me to buy his souvenir, he gave me a container with tiny seeds in it. He just looked at me and gave it to me and walked away. They were tiny like poppy seeds, and they were mustard seeds. So very, very tiny. I still haven't seen a mustard tree or bush, but I know it must be geometrically larger than that seed. But going on with the rest of what Jesus said, who would bury a treasure these days? Isn't that what a safe deposit box at a bank is for? And if you only had one pearl, why would you bury that? I mean, what's with this, Jesus? There is so much we do not get about the Bible or our Christian faith or our traditions and symbols that are all around us. We don't get a lot about Jesus. He's been changed over the centuries to something that's soft and fluffy and a warm feeling rather than a man of justice who was condemned to death for sedition, not for religious malpractice. We don't get what he talks about when he talks about the power of love. And that's the point. That's why we're gathered here today. Through baptism and confirmation and reception, we get to renew ourselves and start all over again in our faith with God and in Jesus. We get again to begin to reexamine and realign our lives with God. That's what today is about. You get to start all over, clean slate, to know that God is seeking to embrace you and me. God is calling you and me to help our friends, our strangers, the aliens, the immigrants in this world who are just like Jesus, an immigrant. We are called to be like Jesus. So this service of confirmation and reception is not a graduation for those who are going to have hands laid on their heads. It's not an end. It is a beginning and a new phase for all of us, for the next part of our journey, to continue to have a lifelong journey in discovering how God is alive in our lives and in this world, even though we don't always perceive it. You know, when we grow up, we have many ideas about God, and too often we picture God like some old man with a long beard. Think about the Sistine Chapel, right? You know, and often we think of that God of the Hebrew Scriptures as one filled with wrath and fear, and we don't even read the parts about love from Isaiah and Hosea and Amos. We think of him more like, sometimes, like Santa Claus. Cold for those who are bad and good things for those who are good. Watching who's naughty and nice. Who has a book of rights and wrongs and our attendance. To quote the Big Bang Theory's Emma Farrah Fowler, I don't object to the concept of a deity, but I am baffled by the notion of one that takes attendance. Hopefully we can grow from these old and somewhat juvenile notions of God. You see, I believe God looks at us with and in love, always, no matter what. God is constantly seeking us with love. 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 And that's what this world needs now. Love, truth, compassion, mercy, ethics. It needs love. There's a song that one of my favorite artists, Bruno Mars, sings. It's called Count on Me. And if you listen to the words, it's about two humans who are in romantic love. But if you reorder your head to those words, as if God, who is our lover, the lover of our soul, is speaking to us, singing that you are God's treasure, the pearl that God is seeking. If we think of those words, that God is singing to our hearts these words, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I will be the light to guide you. As your bishop, I know I don't have all the answers. I don't always get it. It always doesn't make sense to me, but I'm still learning. I'm still on a journey with and for God. And I too sometimes, kids, I get bored sometimes. Let's be clear, okay? I get bored sometimes, and I still have questions. And even though I have advanced degrees, I'm still learning and trying to understand. But what I do know for certain is not only that God loves me and you, is that I can't give up because God does not give up on us. God has not given up on us. In a few minutes, all of us will be invited to share in the vows of baptism. All of us have a chance to renew our faith in those vows, which say we will proclaim in word. Now, I know Episcopalians don't like to talk about faith, but you're going to promise that. In word and deed about the love of God. That we will seek and find and serve Christ in all people, even those most different and who differ from us. That we will work, we will strive for justice, which is not fairness. It's not about reward and punishment, but what we see in God, mercy and reconciliation, making things right. That we will respect every human being as a child of God. And we will respect the creation of God. All of us who are precious in God's eyes, no matter where we live and where our heart is, and still beloved by God. That's hard in today's culture, but we are not alone in this. We can and will, with God's help, do these things that we will promise. How we seek God's help in our lives to live out these vows is the test of faith. How we find God and what we make of ourselves when we do reach out and live these vows. When we help our friends, when we help strangers in need, what we find is what we're really made of. And that's why we're here today, to remind ourselves and each other that God is seeking us and is with us most when we are not sure, when we are afraid, when we are alone, and even when we're angry. God is still with us. And that's God's grace, God's favor. And God's desire for us is to act as Jesus did. As we hear in that first lesson, the way of justice and peace. There is much going on today in this country and in the world that assaults our humanity and even denies God's divinity. There seems to be a mean spirit in this country right now. There's too much gun violence and physical violence in families. There are lies and corruption among our leaders who are seeking to divide and conquer us. There's bigotry and bullying. And too often all this is played out in front of us and even in our lives. But God's Spirit is calling us. God is helping us to grow in wisdom and love and knowledge, to evolve from being selfish or being bullies or being predators on each other, to stop hurting each other, but rather to coexist in respect and compassion. That is God's way. So that the wolf will lay down with the lamb, and the leopard with the kid, and the calf with the lion will not hurt each other. It's what presiding Bishop Michael Curry calls the way of love. That's what that first lesson is all about, and that's what Jesus' life was completely all about. We are called to be different. Those of us who want to follow Christ and not allow the world or the events that we experience define us, but rather God's love and favor, and that we are changed by that love and favor. And we are to continue to try to change this world with love, even though others may not understand it or even share us with us in that love. We still do it for the sake and in the name of God. For many generations, the church has sung the hymn, and I know those who are older will recognize it, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." And it ends with, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." But we also need to hear God singing to us in our hearts. God sings to us, as Bruno Mars said, "You know you can count on me, like 1, 2, 3. I'll be there. You'll always have my shoulder when you cry, because," God says, "I will never, never let go and never say goodbye."